Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by Takahiro Sugito, Chief Japan Strategist for MUFG. It's Wednesday, June 16th, 2021. Welcome back, Sugito-san.
Good to be back.
Good to have you. So let's start the podcast by reviewing recent Japanese Ministry of Finance international transaction in securities data. For our listeners who are familiar with this data, it's really, really great. Gives you a good sense of cross-border flows that by investor type as well as by geographical destination. So Sugito-san, I would note that among Japanese investors, pensions have been particularly active as of late. Can you take our listeners through pension fund flows in fiscal year 2020 and as well as what we've seen so far in fiscal year 2021?
Okay. Thank you so much. In fiscal year 2020, the Japanese pension funds at trust bank accounts net owed 4.9 trillion yen of overseas equities, with gross acquisition coming to 88 trillion yen. This included net disposal of 12 trillion yen of stock and investment fund holdings, net buying of 16 trillion yen of medium to long-term bonds, net acquisition of medium to long-term foreign bonds totaled 16 trillion won, an all-time high. Generally, Japanese pension funds had to manage their foreign bonds and foreign stock positions in line with their asset portfolio weight ratios. And with stock prices surging during the COVID pandemic, they continued to shift from foreign stocks to foreign bonds. They unloaded net amounts of foreign stocks investment fund holdings for three straight quarters between third quarter 2020 and first quarter 2021 by 4 trillion yen, 4.4 trillion yen, and 4.2 trillion yen, respectively. At the same time, they net acquired foreign medium to long-term bonds by 5.6 trillion yen, 6.8 trillion yen, and 3.6 trillion yen. In fiscal year 21, Ministry of Finance monthly flow data showed that Japanese pension funds disposed net 2.5 trillion yen of stock and investment fund holdings in April. They acquired only a net 959 billion yen of medium to long-term bonds. Japanese pension funds have not been supporting further yen weakening, as yen has weakened since the start of 2021. So this has helped to keep the yen range bound.
And, you know, I'd also add that Japanese pensions both sold stocks and bonds, albeit in small amounts in May. So, you know, it certainly looks like this huge reallocation out of stocks and into foreign bonds, you know, could be, you know, taking a pause or perhaps even behind us. On the same topic, but switching a little bit, the U.S. Treasury recently released the April tick data. We have obviously gone through the Japanese Ministry of Finance data. I'd be curious what this release adds to our understanding of Japanese investor flows and Asian investor flows in general.
According to April U.S. tick data released by the U.S. Treasury Department on June 15th, Japanese investors turned net seller of treasuries by $13 billion, while net buying U.S. agency bonds by $11 billion and U.S. corporate bonds by $909 billion. Then the Chinese acquired a net $34 billion of treasuries and U.S. government agency bonds. Meanwhile, Japanese bonds payment data showed that Chinese investors net bought more short-term bonds by 635 billion yen and turned net buyer of medium to long-term bonds by 180 billion yen. Chinese investors have been buying more U.S. bonds as they appear to be supporting both JGBs and treasuries. As a result, 10-year treasury yield dropped to 1.47% by 15 basis points from end April through June 15th. U.S. agency bond yields fell to 1.63% by 20 basis points. U.S. dollar-denominated JGB yield fell to the 1.84% by 21 basis points, and JGB yield fell to 0.03% by 6 basis points. Dollar-yen basis was arbitraged the most and tightened, and JGBs had the lowest volatility among U.S. dollar and JPY products. Asian investors, especially the Chinese and the Japanese, appear to have played a role in driving U.S. yields downward of late. Their appetite for U.S. bonds is strong, and Japanese investing in overseas assets will likely pick up from July onward. The U.S. tick data for April shows that JPY basis and yen rates will not necessarily remain low and stable. As the data confirm, Asian investors, including Japanese, are reinvesting in U.S. bonds. This suggests that there is a potential for yen basis widening from July.
That's really interesting. I mean, with this glut of dollar funding, you know, it's sort of hard to see a material widening, but, you know, between the Fed, the Fed's certainly not going to get any more stimulatory and will be pulling back things at the margin. And perhaps with that and some overseas investment activity, I think we can probably safely say that the tights are in, and perhaps hopefully we see a more of a widening trend. So switching topics, the June BOJ meeting the two-day meeting will conclude on Friday. I'd be curious what our listeners should be watching for and how you expect the markets to react.
Okay. We do not expect the BOJ to make any policy changes at its June monetary policy board meeting this Friday. We expect the BOJ to extend COVID countermeasures at June meeting, and will also be watching the scale of COVID countermeasures and the lending support program LSP in June. If Japanese banks increase the scale of their COVID countermeasures and make more loans from the BOJ's lending support program through the end of June, then the abundance of the US dollar could flow into the BOJ's current deposit at 0% interest, impacting dollar-yen hold spreads. We have to watch after this dollar-yen cross-currency flows between New York and Tokyo to the BOJ account, the yen last resort through the end of quarter.
Thanks for that. As we usually do, why don't we conclude with your outlook for yen rate, spot dollar yen, and yen basis?
At June FOMC meeting, the U.S. Fed surprisingly signaled two rate hikes in 2023 and increasing rates on interest on excess reserve, IOER, from 0.1% to 0.15%, and reverse repo facility, RRF, from 0% to 0.05%. 3 months TB rate rose from around 0% to 0.02% slightly. Then 10 years treasury yield surged from 1.48% to 1.57%. And a dollar yen moved from 109.9 to 110.7 remarkably. We expect a bullish bias for dollar yen, 109 to 112, 3 yen range, changing from neutral bias as it Fed more clearly shows its hawkish policy stance and adjusted both IOER and RRF to absorb abundant US dollar. Looking ahead, we will be carefully continue to watch Japanese real demands and investors' flows. Japanese exporters will likely cover their real demands as export picking up and cap the top side of dollar yen. Strong yen selling flows among Japanese institutional investors and retail money will likely limit downside of dollar yen at lower 109 level. We need to digest one more monetary policy event, June BOJ meeting this Friday. Yen swap rates have declined. The BOJ showed a strong potential of not only the extended COVID pandemic operations, but also of raising yen interest rate in order to encourage self-financing among Japanese banks after the pandemic. A paradox could occur of demand for JGBs as collateral borrowing. Even as downside loom, especially for the short-term yen rates, is limited because of the yen cash incentive mechanism for regional banks restructuring at the BOJ's current deposit rates. There is a strong sense of the yen abundance over the near term. However, the New York Fed will start to absorb US dollar funds. This US monetary operations will likely impact on Tokyo money markets through yen cross-currency flows of both foreigners and Japanese. Yen swap rates will likely shift to a neutral bias from a downward bias. Yen basis has been tight. Not only overseas investors, but also the Japanese could temporarily convert their abundant US dollar to yen through the end of June. Dollar yen basis could be determined more by flows than policy issues out of the end of the quarter. However, again, after today's decision by the Fed, as we will likely see more changes in yen cross-currency arbitrages by foreigners. So we think yen basis will change to a neutral bias from a tightening bias.
Yeah, I mean, the Fed surprised a lot of people, you know, today, and certainly argues for, at least a somewhat wider bias on cross-currency than we had previously. So great stuff as always, Sugiro-san. We'll see what the BOJ has in store for us on Friday, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks for having me, Zhao.
Thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.